ETC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It is Friday night, the 20th of May. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
Well, I'm good, but you and I didn't really have too much of a chance to chit-chat coming into the show tonight, so I'm gonna bring something up right off the top of the show here as a warning to listeners, okay? My wife won $900,000 in a new vehicle from Publishers Clearing House today, and then, an hour later, so did I.
Somehow I don't believe that.
Can you say scam?
I can say scam.
Here's the deal, folks. I want you to be wary of this, because these things are going around. I've been hearing about it from other people. An hour apart, my wife and I each got that call today. Now, they don't ask you for anything in the call, okay? Not at least not in the initial call. They don't ask you for a thing. They give you a number, they give you a phone number, they give you a supposed quote-unquote claim number, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you call that number back, it's a New York number. And you hear the recording of Publishers Clearing House advertisement and everything. Then they say they'll call you back. So what's going to happen here is they will call back, and then they will start asking you for personal information. Now,
well, here's
what you need to know, folks. Publishers Clearing House does not do that. They do not call you in advance if you've won something. If you actually win something from Publishers Clearing House, they just show up.
Okay, and here's something else. Publishers Clearing House doesn't give away $900,000. It's million and up. It's in rounded numbers.
Right. Right. So, if you get those calls, just know right off the bat, it's a scam.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just find it odd that they called both of us.
They had your number.
I guess so. But yeah, there's a lot of that crap going around, and, folks, you just gotta be careful. You know, you gotta understand what it is. Don't fall for it. Certainly don't give them any personal information. If you actually win from them, they just show up at your house.
With cameras and lights and balloons and everything else.
And a bouquet of flowers and a check.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not for, you know, $900,000. It's $1 million, $2 million, something like that.
Right. So, you know, just be wary, be on alert, you know, just public service announcement from your friends at Right Side Patriots.
From you, not from me, because I would never fall for it.
Well, no, it's not about whether you fall for it or not. We're providing a public service announcement warning people not to fall for it. Therefore, the warning comes from both of us.
Okay.
It's a public service of this fine radio network.
I can think of other things that are a public service more so than silly people falling for scams.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. And it's sad, but people do fall for these things. In my local news, every once in a while, I'll get a story about somebody that's been scammed out of $4,000, $5,000. The other, probably about 3 weeks ago, some guy lost $20,000. Get their money, the scammers get their money from elderly people who aren't so tuned in to this kind of thing. But folks, just be careful. And if you think about it, tell other people. And, if you get a call from, some outfit claiming to be Publishers Clearing House, it's not. Just that simple. But in scam winnings, we're up to $1.8
million.
So. Okay. just is what it is. Folks, we got some interesting stuff to talk about tonight. Now, coming up in the second segment of the show tonight, we're going to be talking about the UFO hearing that took place in the House of Representatives just a few days ago, and some other things that kind of swirl around that. Some very interesting stuff to talk about in that regard. But before we get to that, which is something Diane and I are so looking forward to talking about, by the way, we've got a couple other things to talk about. Tuesday, on the show this past Tuesday, we never even brought up Ukraine, so I think we need to kind of fill people in on what's going on there.
Yeah, and we can start with the fact that Zelensky made some announcements today because Mariupol is basically fallen into the Russian hands, and they've actually taken the soldiers that were still there, and they're bringing them to Russia and charging them with all sorts of nonsense.
Right.
But what President Zelensky did, he submitted a bill to Ukraine's parliament to extend martial law and military conscription by 3 months. And by conscription, it means, let's say you're scheduled to serve 6 months. Well, now you're going to be serving 9 months.
Right.
And you have to remember that martial law was first imposed way back on February 24th, and now it has been extended twice, 230-day extensions, and the latest extension is actually set to expire on May 25th, but he's extending it another 30 days, and rightly so, because Russia is making small little incursions into eastern Ukraine.
Well, especially kind of in the northeastern part of Ukraine, the southeastern part, kind of down there where Mariupol is. Mariupol is now apparently totally controlled by Russian forces. Here's the question I have. What do you think? This speculation at this point, but what do you think is going to happen to those Ukrainians that have been taken prisoner and hauled back to Russia? What do you think their fate is going to be?
I think for a lot of them, it's going to be death.
Yeah.
They're going to do faux trials, sentence them for, whatever they want to make up. It's okay for Putin to try them, but, he can't be tried for war crimes.
Yeah, God forbid, right?
It's really a joke what's going to happen. In the sense of the legality end, it's a crime what's going to happen to them. And some will escape, and some will go to the other side to save themselves. It's going to be a total mess over there. But on top of that, Putin has fired some of his senior army commanders because of the multiple failures and the fact that the Russian troops have been performing basically poorly during this whole invasion of Ukraine. So that's kind of payback, too, because if they're fired, they're going to face charges also. But don't be surprised if Ukraine, maybe with help from the Mossad, tries to free some of those captured Ukrainian soldiers.
That's going to be an interesting situation. You know, Mossad is everywhere. And folks, if you're not familiar with Mossad, that's Israeli special ops. And those guys are everywhere, and they are just about the best on earth.
I think they are the best. We lost that designation with Obama. It was Admiral Igor Osipov. He was the one that commanded the Black Sea Fleet. Remember when the Moskva destroyed by the Ukrainians in April?
Yep.
He was the first to be fired, and somehow he's kind of disappeared off the radar lately.
He's probably disappeared for more than just the radar.
Correct.
I mean, he might be on his way to Siberia.
If he's still alive.
I was just going to say, if he's still above ground, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation over there. Obviously, Putin's not happy with the performance of his own military. He never saw Ukraine putting up the kind of fight they're putting up. But, you know, a bunch of this is all on Putin, too, because they never told their soldiers really what they were going to be doing. They thought they were going for a military exercise. They thought they were, you know, some of them, you know, knew they were going into war, but they thought, you know, they were going to go fight the Nazis because supposedly Ukraine was full of Nazis, which it's not. But
and it never was. You know, maybe when it was the president before Zelensky, the one who had the dealings with Biden and his terrible son, the one that Obama supported, maybe at that time you can call that group Nazis, you know, quote unquote. But Zelensky, who's good part of his family was wiped out by the Nazis in World War II. He's been trying to rein all that stuff in.
Well,
Is not full of Nazis.
It wasn't then either. It wasn't full of Nazis with the previous administration there either. Oh yeah, they were corrupt. That previous, you know, group that was in there before Zelensky, they were corrupt. There's no doubt about that. But it's a far cry from being politically corrupt to being a Nazi.
Hey, the only one that borders on being a Nazi is Vladimir Putin himself, because the atrocities he's committed, he's channeling, his inner Hitler. Because bombing children's hospitals, bombing maternity hospitals, bombing private residences when people are getting ready for Orthodox Easter, deliberately destroying civilian areas. I mean, that's something Hitler did.
Bombing train stations and schools and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. Now, also in Ukraine, or regarding Ukraine, Finland and Sweden have applied to become NATO members. Recep Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, is going to block it.
Yeah, well, you know, Turkey's kind of useless to us anyway. And I don't know how NATO is set up exactly, how many it takes to deny
one
applications.
It takes one.
Just one?
Yep. It's got to be a unanimous thing. Yeah, it's got to be a unanimous vote, or they're not in. Can you explain something to me? Why is Turkey part of NATO?
I think it had to do with them helping in to some degree in World War II, and also maybe to make amends for the whole Armenia thing. I don't know. They need to be out. They're not part of the West. You know, they like to think of themselves as, but they're really not.
No, they're not.
You know, they're more in line with the Muslim countries than they are with the West.
Well, they're claiming that Sweden and Finland harbor terrorists because Sweden and Finland took the side of the Kurds. You know, I mean, this is Erdogan being Erdogan is what it is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think in the end, he's going to lose that. Somehow they're going to get him onto their side. Or NATO does have another option. They could say, look, the vote wasn't there to become, but we can put in a special resolution, if you will. If anything happens, we will defend you.
Yeah, kind of cover them with that umbrella.
Yeah, you know, there is ways to go about it. There's also ways of kicking Turkey out of NATO.
Which is what I think I would be pursuing were I NATO.
But I don't think the time right now is the right time, because what Turkey can then turn around and do is side with Putin.
Well.
And that would be dangerous, and it would change the whole complexion of the middle of the of Europe and what's going on right now. It's better if they wait to do that, give Sweden and Finland the blanket coverage, get Turkey out, and then get them in.
Yeah. You know, here's something else with Finland, too. Tomorrow morning, Russia cuts off Finland's natural gas supply.
Yeah. But they already have operations in place. They're going to be getting gas and electricity from Sweden.
Good. Good. Way to go, Swedes.
Yeah. They were never dependent on Russia.
Can they get a side order of meatballs with that? And helping the Finns that way. That also, let me tell you something. Sweden stepping up and helping the Finns with power and energy that way also bolsters the NATO umbrella idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You know, the countries helping each other. And Turkey, look, when that whole thing with the Kurds started, Turkey should have been kicked out right then and there.
Yeah.
They really should not have even been allowed in to NATO. They're not our allies, really. Not with Erdogan.
No, certainly not with Erdogan.
That man runs hot and cold. And he's too under the mullah's influence. I don't think they're good NATO members.
I don't think they're good neighbors, much less NATO members. Yeah. I would be wary and leery of Turkey if I was anywhere in that vicinity, because you just don't know. Like you said, Erdogan runs hot and cold, and as goes Erdogan, so goes Turkey. So
exactly.
You know, it's one of those
things. But only time will tell. I still think in the end, Sweden and Finland will become NATO members, because remember, Norway already is, and it's imperative for those two countries to become so, because Finland shares over 800 miles of shared border with Russia. And also, after World War II, Finland had to give up some of its territory to Russia. Norway shares a small border with them. We've got to keep Russia back.
Well, there, you know, it's a red hot situation over there, and whatever can be done needs to be done to protect these other countries. There's already been rumors coming out of Moscow that Poland is next on Putin's list. So,
well, the actual next one is Moldova, because he's already sent rockets into two disputed areas there. And the Moldova president, he's very nervous about it. and he wants NATO protection. It's basically we're fighting a small-scaled World War III, whether people want to admit it or not, because you have an aggressor that wants back territory. What Putin's trying to do is take back all the satellite nations that Russia lost at the end of the Cold War.
Well, you know, here's something else.
One down the line. If he steps into Poland, it's over. We have to go in.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's what a lot of people have kind of lost sight of. Both World War One and World War Two didn't start as world wars. They both started as very small operations and then bloomed into world wars. So this is starting the way those also started. Look, we've got about 8 minutes, eight and a half minutes left in this segment.
American natural born. Because he'd make one hell of a president. And basically, in my saying Elon Musk, I put up a meme today that I kind of think says it all about what's happening. First came his company, SpaceX, and our astronauts no longer needed to hitch a ride with the Russians to the ISS. Second came his hopefully soon-to-be-finalized takeover of the liberal speak, anti-free speech media platform Twitter. Next was his announcing that he will be switching parties and voting Republican come November. Then came his rightfully and truthfully saying that the, and I quote, the Democrat Party is the party of division and hate. And right now, right on cue, comes a six-year-old sexual allegation being leveled against him. But if I were the Democrats, I'd keep one eye open at all times for the modern-day Renaissance man, this champion of free speech, is a rightful force to be reckoned with, and he ain't taking it. He has hit on Twitter big time about this.
You know, the allegation stems from something that happened in 2016, supposedly, allegedly, happened. I don't believe it did, but there was a flight attendant that worked for SpaceX. They have their own corporate jets, of course, and they were traveling somewhere, and supposedly, this woman was told to give Elon Musk a full-body massage, right? And she goes into that part of the jet, and he's standing there full Monty and starts touching her inappropriately. Now, I don't believe any of this for a minute. Now, the whole thing was settled out of court 6 years ago for the low, low price of $250,000, okay? Now, even 6 years ago, Musk was worth billions of dollars. All right.
Right.
If this really happened, are you really going to settle for $250,000 if you were legitimately wronged? Come on.
Yeah. First of all, if you're legitimately wronged, you don't wait 6 years. I'm sorry. You don't wait 6 years to tell your story. And that's all this is a story. And Elon Musk, he has a great sense of humor, and he's looking at it as a joke. And he said on Twitter, finally, we get to use Elongate as a scandal name. It kind of fits perfectly.
You know, that is funny.
I mean, this is ridiculous. This woman obviously was put up by the left because, you know, they fear losing Twitter. Remember, so many of Twitter's people on it are phony profiles, phony people. And they're pushing, you know, the Biden is wonderful narrative and Kamala Harris is just, you know, the best thing ever. And they're censoring all the things that conservatives and Republicans have to say. I mean, this reeks of a put-up job.
Well, yeah, and can I tell you how this works? This is my speculation on how this crap works, okay? Yeah, she made the allegations 6 years ago. Yes, it was settled out of court for $250K, all right? Part of that deal to settle out of court included a non-disclosure act and all this stuff, right? So, somebody with a lot more money than $250,000 came up and contacted, my speculation, came up and contacted this woman and said, I'll tell you what, you bring this up again right now, and Elon could sue you for the $250,000, get it back, and maybe even sue you for a little bit more. But you know what? We'll cover that, and we'll give you an extra $500,000 on top of it. You know, and all you got to do is level these allegations, put him in doubt. That's how this crap works.
Yeah, but they're not going to get away with this one.
No.
This one, they went way out of their league with this kind of crap. And we really don't know why that $250,000 was paid out. We really don't know on what grounds or any of that. So it could just be that it had nothing to do with any sexual allegations whatsoever. We have not heard Elon Musk's story because he says this is crap. He doesn't have time to deal with this nonsense that is obviously a put-up scam in a way.
You know, if anything, you know, when this was settled out of court, it's like, you know what? This is such a nonsense bit of junk. Let's just cut this woman a check and send her on her way, for God's sakes. You know, guy like Elon Musk, businessman, got all these irons in the fire. He's got more important things to worry about than some woman raising a stink, right? So pay the woman, get her out of here. And, you know, and off she went. Well, okay. You know, I don't doubt that she made the allegations. Oh, go ahead.
I don't doubt that either, but this was all a put up because the Democrats are afraid of losing Twitter as their platform. That's all this is about.
Initially, and again, my speculation in the little time we have left here, initially, I'm guessing she got mad because he wouldn't give her a second look.
Could very well be.
You know, she's in tight. She's flying on the corporate jets. You know, Elon Musk, big time billionaire, probably really didn't want much to do with her. You know, and then, well, how dare you? How dare you rebuff me? Yeah,
that could be.
I mean, you don't wait years and years. If you've got a legitimate beef, you go after it. All barrels loaded from the get-go. You don't wait 6 years and then throw out an allegation. Good Lord.
Well, that's why I think the whole Me Too movement is nonsense. I mean, if you are raped, why don't you go and report it right away?
Yeah.
Go to the police, go to a hospital, go somewhere where the pictures can be taken, where the rape kit could be used. If you've really been raped and really been violated, don't come 5, 10, 15, 20 years later and bring allegations against someone.
You're right. This just reeks of a put-up deal, and it's going to go nowhere. And Musk's reaction to this has been pretty well spot on. I mean, not only elongate, but he said, hey, look, let her come forward and describe me. Describe scars or tattoos or, you know, anything like that. She won't because she can't. That's what Elon Musk said. So he said she won't because she can't because it never happened.
But the Democrats are all going to back her. And, oh, she was, you know, violated and this and that. I mean, we know it's coming.
Well, he knew it too. He said a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, stand by for the political attacks. And here we go. You know.
Here they are.
He's a lot smarter than people give him credit for, I'll tell you that. Look, Diane, we've made it to the bottom of the hour. We need to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. But when we come back, we're talking UFOs. We're talking the UFO hearings. We're talking about our perspective on UFOs. We're going to get it all out there on the table. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen from The National Patriot, Diane Sorey at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any bit of tonight's show, you ought not to, but if you do, then you just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and become one of the pod people.
Mm-hmm. We like our pod people.
Yes, we do. All right, so earlier this week, over there in the hallowed halls of Congress, on the House side, they had a congressional hearing regarding UFOs. Now, this is something that if you'd asked me 10 years ago if the House would ever hold a public hearing on UFOs, I'd have said, no, you know, because they do their best to cover that stuff up. But this week they did. And I watched more of it than I really needed to watch, I guess, probably be the best way to put it. I watched about 2.5 hours of it, and A, that's 2.5 hours of my life I won't get back. B, it was 2.5 hours I was unable to watch the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Oh, dear God.
Diane, you watched a little bit of it too, didn't you?
I just watched a little bit of it because I didn't sit there for 2.5 hours. I just played a little catch-up today. And basically, my take was, here it is, you're talking about UFOs, the first hearings on UFOs in 50 years. Instead of having astronomers, planetary scientists, astrobiologists, astrophysicists, people who really know this stuff, they have as their experts politicians.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know.
Give me a break.
You know, and now you've got a very good impression of what went on for the whole time I was watching the thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the only congressman there that I recognized right off the bat in the time I was watching was Adam Schiff for brains. Okay, and he was even more clueless than normal. It's funny to me some of the questions that were being asked. Okay, they were trying to get a real basic grip on what is a UFO. Well, if you've been alive all these years and you don't know what a UFO is, you're not going to learn anything in a congressional hearing.
Right. Definitely not, because everything is stacked against you just going in. If we say that UFOs are real, the left side is going to say, no, they're not. And that's basically how this went. They needed to have, besides the scientists who really know about this stuff, they also needed to have people who have been witnesses to what so-called UFOs. They didn't have one person.
You know, that's a great point, Diane. We've over the last couple of years, we have seen some video that was taken by military pilots.
Right.
Okay. Why didn't they bring in one or two of those pilots?
Because they don't want the truth to get out.
That's exactly it. See, that's exactly it. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay? So I'm watching this thing. They're asking rudimentary questions of these two paper pushers that were sitting there. Mm-hmm. And those two paper pushers were doing their best not to answer any questions. Now, some of the questions that came up were maybe a little bit more specific, and they said, "Well, that we'll discuss that in the closed door session," right?
So why have a congressional hearing?
Yeah, why have a public hearing?
Exactly.
Okay, so here's my take. You gave your take. Here's my take. Okay, it was political and military talking, double talking in circles in triplicate.
Okay, That's a good explanation.
I mean, I don't know how else these two guys that were up there trying to explain the UFO phenomenons that have been captured on tape over the last several years, they were trying to do anything they could to explain this stuff away, and most of what they said to explain it away didn't make a damn bit of sense.
None of it. And, you know, you have to start with the basic premise, how big the universe is. We have no conception of where the universe ends. Do you really think that there's nothing out there besides us?
That would be a sad commentary if it's true.
That would be very sad. Never mind that we already know there are many, many star systems out there that have planets roughly 93 million miles from their sun. That's already been proven. Are we that arrogant to think that nothing could evolve anywhere else but here?
In the entire universe.
Right. Are we really that arrogant? Unfortunately, some people are. They think this is it.
Can I make two quick observations in regarding the search for intelligent life?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you'll notice that here on our planet, all the instruments used to search for intelligent life are pointed away from Earth.
Right.
That congressional hearing is one reason for that.
Yeah.
They're not pointing anything at Washington, D.C. looking for intelligent life.
No.
And the other thing is, there seems to have been a kind of a lot of UFO sightings recently, and I've got a theory on that, too.
Well, Craig, we can actually tell people that some truths.
Well, yeah, but my theory is why there's so many now is because they've all gotten a good look at what's going on here and they're leaving.
Ah, that could be. That could be. But you know, something, before we get into something personal here, Stephen Hawkins, most people know who he is. The very famous physicist who had Lou Gehrig's disease and couldn't talk and was wheelchair bound, but everything was done by computer. He was supposedly one of the most brilliant men on earth. He actually said that we are making mistakes sending certain things out into space, including the new depictions of the human form that's going to be going out if it hasn't already, showing our double helix structure. And where he's coming from is you're giving away who and what we are. Let us make contact with them before they come here. And that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Because we don't really know what these other beings would be. Would they be like us? I personally think if you are roughly the same distance from your sun and you have water and you're a carbon-based life and a double helix and all of that, you would be pretty similar. But you don't really know, because we've made no contact yet. We've made no contact. It doesn't mean they haven't made contact.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, these are things that Craig and I have talked about for years. Think about, for example, how the pyramids were built. Think of certain things that man at that time could not do, and yet they did. Think of the Library of Alexandria with every secret, every science of those times destroyed. Why? Think of the crop fields now, those circles. How'd they get there? There's so many questions that lead to one answer, but people don't want to see it.
Yeah, that people just don't want to believe that we're not alone.
And that we've never been visited.
You know, you look at so many things, you know, not only the stuff that Diane just brought up, but you look at similarities between cultures that had no contact with one another.
Right.
Architectural, scientific, you know, cultural.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fact that cultures all over the world, early man, they all thought that the gods came from the sky.
Right.
They all did. You know, and it's one thing if one culture kind of takes that up, but other cultures all at about the same time, all believe in the same thing and never having contact with
each other.
Yeah. I mean, where does that stuff come from? You know, where do those ideas come from? You know, there's plenty of that kind of evidence out there, and we could spend hours talking about that kind of evidence. You know, one of the videos they showed in the hearing the other day in Congress was one that was taken through a night vision scope. Mm-hmm. And it shows a perfect equilateral triangle.
Right.
And, of course, because it's night vision, it glows green. Okay, that's obviously not going to be the proper color for whatever it was. But, you know, because it's night vision, it glows green. A perfect equilateral triangle flying around in the sky and flashing. It's flashing. Okay. Right. So what these two yahoos described that as is, well, that, you know, we're pretty sure that was an unmanned aerial drone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure it was.
And they said the reason it looked triangular, because it probably really wasn't, but the reason it looked triangular is because the video was shot through a night vision scope with a 35-millimeter camera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something, folks. 35-millimeter camera through a night vision goggle is not going to change the shape of something. It's only going to record the shape that's there.
Exactly.
But that was their explanation. That's how stupid these explanations were.
Right. They don't want to admit what is probably true. In fact, one of the people on the committee, his name is Tim Burchett, and he claimed that the UFO hearings that just happened were a joke because he is claiming that wreckage has already been recovered. Now, whether he's talking about Area 51, he didn't really say. But he's a congressman, by the way, folks.
Right.
I believe him 100%. And I also believe something was at Area 51. I'm not saying it's there anymore. It's probably been moved. But I have no doubt that we've been visited already.
And I think we've been visited for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
Exactly. And they're waiting to see what becomes of us.
Yeah, well, they can't be very thrilled if they're looking at us now.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, I mean, Craig, who should go first? Me or you?
You.
You are a little personal.
You. Okay. You go ahead.
I've been a believer in alien space exploration ever since I was a kid. When I was really young, we used to go out and lay in the backyards, the neighbors, the friends, and we all used to look at the sky. And, you know, we were kids, and the parents would sit around, talk, we'd eat, whatever. Well, there was one night, I was about 9 years old, and we were all looking up. And I said, look at that. And I asked my father, look at that. It's moving back and forth. Is that a meteor? And he looked at it, and he said, no, that's not. And it kept making a specific pattern. And it would go back and forth and back and forth. And at the time, my father was a member of the Auxiliary Coast Guard. So he called in to the Coast Guard. And they said, we are getting hundreds of reports describing the same thing that you're seeing. Well, it was a big thing in upstate New York at the time, and it made the news and whatever. But about a week or so after, my father called in to check on it. And it was identified as a unidentified flying object. They couldn't pass it off as a balloon, a weather balloon, or anything. To this day, that incident is classified as unknown. I know that was unknown. I know that that was not of this earth. It was too mathematically perfect in its back and forth and pattern. And you almost felt like you were being watched.
It's eerie when you see stuff like
that. It is eerie.
You know, I was a kid. I was probably 14. Maybe I had a morning paper route. I was on my way back to the house one morning after finishing deliveries, and up in the sky, I could see what looked like a plane. It was going from north to south, but it was awfully bright. You know, whatever it was awfully bright, brighter than
too bright.
Yeah, brighter than an airplane should be. So I stood there and I watched it, and it was not going fast. It was going fairly slow. And it gets to a certain point in the sky, and it stops, just stops. And it's a long ways off. You know, it's not something that's right overhead. It's a long ways off. And it just stops. And so I'm standing there looking at it, and it's really bright. And after about 15 seconds, remember, it was going from north to south. After about 15 seconds, it takes off back to the north like it had been fired out of a rifle. that thing vanished, went all the way across the sky in a matter of about 2 seconds.
Warp speed.
Yeah. And I'm looking at that, oh, holy crap, what was that? You know? Now, my mother lives in Phoenix, Arizona. 1997, Phoenix, Arizona. People who are as geeked out by this stuff as you and I are will recognize that date.
Right.
The night of the Phoenix Lights. My folks were up at a friend's house just north of Phoenix, just outside Phoenix proper there, North Phoenix. On their way home that night, the Phoenix Lights, the giant triangular set of lights, it's on video, literally thousands upon thousands of people saw it, came right over the top of them. And it was determined that those were military flares from a military exercise. My mother says, no. That was a solid object with lights in it. It was triangular in shape. And she said, as it came over them, over their car, they could feel the air pressure change.
Yeah.
You don't get that from flares.
No.
Okay. So, I mean, we've had these personal experiences, the one Diane described, what I described, what my mother described. And these things are seen by all sorts of people.
Right.
You know, you can't, you know, and you get some of these official explanations. Oh, it's mass hysteria. Bull crap.
No, because they're seen in different places at different times by people of all walks of life. And we all cannot be wrong.
When you have military, when you have military people, trained military people see these things and they can't explain it. When you have police and law enforcement, right, state patrol officers, when they see these things and they can't explain them, you know, come on. Remember Roswell back in 1947, Roswell, New Mexico. The first explanation for it was the Army Air Corps had captured a crashed flying saucer.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The next day, it was a weather balloon.
Yeah. That was no weather balloon, folks. If that was a weather balloon, why was Area 51 so off limits, surrounded with barbed wire? You would be shot if you tried to cross it. Come on. You protect something for a weather balloon? I don't think so.
No. Nope.
And I really think, you know, if you look at it in a mathematical way, and let's start with the number 100. Let's say the universe is number 100. And then you break it down. Let's say 50% of that universe could have some form of life. Maybe not humanoid like us, but some form of life. Then you break it down, that 50%, into 25%. Well, there are X number of stars, approximately 93 million miles from its sun. So yeah, there could be some like ours. Then you break it down even more into quarters. Well, some of them then would have to be way ahead of us. Some of them would be behind us, technology-wise. Then you break it down into eighths. Well, some of them might be super advanced from us. You can't discredit these things because logic alone and math alone proves that we are not alone.
Well, and I'll tell you something. You know, I don't put a lot of stock in certain things, okay? But if you read the book of Ezekiel from the Bible, that book directly talks about what can only be a craft coming down out of the sky, okay? And when you see these things in ancient texts, and that's not the only ancient text that you know talks about things like that. There were ancient texts in India that talked about things like that. Mm-hmm. There's ancient texts from the Aztecs. And, you know, I mean, you've got to remember, you know, the people that told those stories for hundreds, if not thousands of years, told them verbally, orally, before anybody ever wrote them down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those people had neither the intellect nor the vocabulary to accurately describe what they were seeing. They had to use ideas that they could wrap their primitive minds around.
Very true.
You know, they would not have described it as a spaceship. They had no idea what a spaceship was.
Right. They barely knew, you know, what the sky was beyond looking up. Oh, that's what's up there.
You know, they described things in the way they could, limited as their vocabulary and their intellect was. You know, gods came from the sky. Well, to them, any being that descended from the sky and could do certain things that was well beyond their capability surely must have been a god of some sort.
Right.
Right?
Right. But, Craig, you know, no matter what scientific evidence you present to someone, you're not going to change their minds if their minds are not open to accepting anything but what they're told they have to believe.
That's a fact. Now, the idea that we had this public hearing in Congress the other day was laughable.
Yes.
You could watch that thing frontwards and backwards 100 times. You wouldn't get anything out of it. Trust me.
No.
What would be
because
interesting?
Because they didn't have people that had any real knowledge of it or any people that have seen things. None of that. It was politicians doing doublespeak.
Yeah, in triplicate.
In triplicate, yes.
Yeah. What would be more interesting is to know what goes on in the closed-door session, and we'll never know.
Correct. And the reports we'll get, they'll be full of redactions. Well, you can figure out then what they are redacting.
About the only thing that's probably not going to be redacted from the official behind-closed-doors report is two words, holy crap. You know, outside of that, it's just going to be a bunch of black lines.
Yeah, and I'll leave people with this question. Why is Area 51 still off limits today?
Because they've got the one working McDonald's soft serve ice cream maker in the world.
No, but I'm saying seriously, if there's nothing, why is it still off limits?
Diane, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, okay. You know, maybe your people will come back for you and, you know, you can introduce us to them.
I should be so lucky.
They're stranding you here.
I'm beginning to feel I've been marooned.
Yes.
I could take a hint.
Mm-hmm. But seriously, folks, Craig and I are not the only ones that are believers in this. There are millions like us. The problem is the people that are so close-minded to any possibilities that we are not alone, that we are not it.
Right.
They refuse to even think outside the box.
Well, folks, as you can hear by the clock on the wall, if you can hear that, the clock I bought about a week ago, well, 2 weeks ago now, has suddenly started chiming.
Ah.
Maybe
your alien powers, there's something in you that's setting it off.
Until last Tuesday at 7 o'clock during the show, I had no idea the thing even chimed. Okay, but judging by that, Diane, you and I have run out of time tonight.
Okay, nighty-night, folks.
Folks, you have a great weekend. Diane and I will catch up with you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.